for an hour now at Brick Par Brick, and standing up for a place to stay. Movements confront the housing crisis and false solutions. A community radio and TV broadcast. Thanks, Drew, for the title also. Much respect. And it's been a pleasure to speak with you all. Thank you, Hubert, Gaurav, Amy, Drew, Faiz, and Nathan, and to David for bringing the banners, beautiful Spencer from CKUT, and everybody else for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stefan.
Thank you. Thank you, Stefan.
Craving bold films that renew the language of cinema?
For exclusive access to the most stimulating and diverse visions of documentary cinema, RIDM is the festival not to miss.
From November 15 to 26 in Montreal.
Go to RIDM.ca to find out everything about the festival's program.
The Montreal International Documentary Festival, where all stories meet.
The time is 6 p.m. You are listening to CKUT 90.3. We recorded this in Montreal, aka the unceded territory of the Ganyangahaga. You are listening to What's Up With Work Lately, and playing us in is Catronata, Feet Thundercats. Be careful. And we're back. Thank you for joining us. This is What's Up With Work Lately, a Youthful Cities and CKUT collaboration. I'm Mariam, and I am joined by Charlie and Emil today. We will be your hosts for this upcoming series that we're doing. We're going to be here every other Monday at 6 p.m. to discuss Montreal's economic landscape, the job market, and how youthful your Canadian city might be. Let's do a round of introductions.
I'll start. My name is Emil. I'm part of Youthful Cities. I'm the role of an outreach and a research analyst. And I've been here about 2 months. It's a great time. Excited to do this project with everyone. And I'm going to pass the mic to Charlie.
Hi there, I'm Charlie, the Research and Outreach Coordinator for this project, and I'm extremely happy to be part of this whole experience and share things with you guys.
Mm. And my name is Miriam. I'm a CKUT alum, actually. I was the music librarian and a DJ on a couple of shows from 2018 to 2021. So this is a really, really sweet and sentimental opportunity for me. And I am the city manager at Youthful Cities. I've been here about 3 months. Would you guys like to talk a little bit about the project as well? Charlie, do you want to talk a little bit about our big DevLabs project before we get into today's episode content?
Sure. So DevLab, a little fun story that I think is funny, is that we are 20 employees approximately for this project, and every single one of us have a different definition. So that's pretty fun. My own understanding of this project and definition is that we are curious on what's going on with youth between 15 and 29 years old since COVID, and how many skills have we missed when it comes to education and, you know, access to work and the workforce. So we're just sending around surveys at some point just to know what's going on and try to figure out what we can do. I think that would be my own definition. I see Miriam nodding, so I can go here.
No, that was great. I totally, totally agree. Exactly the same definitions of what our project is on. But essentially, for the next year, we're going to be researching urban work. And that comes with research, but that also comes with action. So part of the community action part of our work here is engaging with the community. So these episodes will feature community interviews. They will also feature internal interviews, and we're hoping to know more about our upcoming summit in March 2024, which we get into a few more tracks and talking about the survey more specifically, because that's our current leg of the work. Can I just ask what your relationships with Montreal is? Because this is our very first episode, so I feel like it would be really exciting to check the pulse of our current Montreal City team.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about what Emil has to say.
Yeah, you're from Pointe Claire, right?
I grew up in Pointe Claire, lived there from when I was born up until I was 19, where I just left temporarily for university. Mm-hmm. Studied economics in Calgary, and then as soon as I graduated, I came right back. And then living there ever since. So I'm back by the end of April.
Yeah.
And I have a pretty close connection to growing up in Montreal, because my parents immigrated there here from Trinidad, and, you know, they love Montreal. Even though initially they did want to go back, but then with the state of how Trinidad changed, they just found their home here, and then they had a big Trinidad community in Montreal. So
is there? That's so cool.
I just have a question though. So is Pointe Claire Montreal? Because it's on the same island, but
I think Pointe Claire. Yeah, this is a big debate. This is really spicy to talk about because I feel like some of our listeners are also West Islanders and stuff. But I think that Pointe Claire is. Not to answer on your behalf, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm interested to hear what you
have. I feel like it's pretty Montreal. I feel like it's Montreal.
Mm-hmm. So don't consider that everything that's on the island is Montreal.
It's true that the city of Montreal sometimes seems to not take up the entire island of Montreal.
Oh, no.
What's your take, Emil?
Well, one thing I will say is because Pointe Claire is mostly like residential, but a lot of the people living in Pointe Claire. They would move to the city where all the economic activity is.
Yeah.
So, like, even though they're living in Montreal, they have to make a commute down to from west to east to, you know, go to their jobs or work in the offices, or some, like my mom, maybe work in at the mega hospital.
So. Okay, so they do have a economic impact in Montreal.
They do, yeah. Well, one of our questions on the survey is about your commute time. And I think that obviously with remote work, it's gone down to 0 minutes. But I feel like from Pointe Claire to Bonaventure, where our offices are based, that's maybe less than half an hour, half an hour? A little bit more than half an hour. It's pretty good. It's still pretty good. It's pretty top tier, yeah. Mm-hmm. I bike and I take maybe 20 minutes because construction.
We shall not start on the construction.
Let's get started on another episode.
Absolutely. Okay, very cool. And do you like Montreal? Are you happy to be back after uni?
Oh yeah, Montreal, I will say, is a pretty exciting city.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, again, in the summer times, there's a lot of activities mm-hmm. and a lot of things to do when you want to call up your friends and make last minute plans. There's always something.
Awesome, cool. All right, Charlie, what is your relationship with Montreal?
Oh, I have like a love-hate relationship with Montreal.
Okay.
I immigrated here in 2017 for my studies at Université de Montréal. So I feel like mm-hmm. I started like in the center of Montreal. But you know, the first time I saw snow was here. I come from like a tropical island, so this is not a thing I was used to. Snow the first day is fun, second day it's a bit less fun. After 3 months you kind of just not want to be there anymore. Mm-hmm. But Montreal itself, I think, is a place where I enjoy being half the year, and then on the half of the year I kind of not want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I do find that since COVID, my Montreal lifestyle, and maybe it, you guys can share the same experience, but my Montreal lifestyle has changed mm-hmm. a lot. I do bike now, which I think makes me very Montrealer now, which I didn't do for the last mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. 6 years of me being on this island.
Mm-hmm. From island to island.
From island to island. But yeah, I think I'm have more of a love relationship with Montreal right now because I've reached this point in my life where I'm comfortable with, let's say again, commute time. I live, I kid you not, 15 minutes from my work walking, so biking is extremely convenient. And yeah, I think I have a good relationship with Montreal right now because I'm in a privileged position.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I also feel like I came here for my studies, so I was 19. And then I was born in Canada, but in Kitchener. So, Ontario, my family, my mom and my big sister were naturalized Canadian citizens, and I was born here. So I'm second gen, I guess that makes me. And I grew up pretty happy in Kitchener until the age of 7 because it's a nice Canadian atmosphere. It's a very, you know, it's a very well-funded city, and I really liked it as a kid. But my mom and sister were miserable. They found it a bit more difficult as an immigrant to infiltrate, and my sister was having a hard time being a student, but being a commuter student. So when we moved to Europe, when I was a kid, it seemed like Canada was not going to be that discussed anymore. And then I'm 19, I have a French education, just like you, Charlie, and I'm queer and Canadian. And it kind of, just through process of elimination, Montreal seemed perfect for me. And it was, to be honest. I felt a lot of joy as an undergrad here, and I came back after teaching abroad here, and I was really, really, it's the first place I've made a home, which that's something at 26. I would also just like to talk about how at Youthful Cities, our organization that is hosting as a whole, as a unit, this radio series, we want cities in Canada to be rated on not so much how possible it is for young people to survive or to live in these cities, but to thrive in these cities. And I will say that despite the bleak economic landscape of the housing market, Montreal is still a place where I see happy young people and I see thriving young people.
Well, that's where the play, you know, the playful,
the value of
cities comes
yeah.
in. Right?
Yeah,
we want people to live and thrive and being able to play in your city.
Exactly. For young people to live, work, and play is kind of the standard for all our research that we're doing, all our summit, and how we want to influence policy later down the line.
Yeah, I agree, because like, especially back during that COVID lockdown, we didn't get much opportunity to play because like, we were locked in our house doing the remote learning, or at best, maybe we can organize some virtual board games or whatever.
Yes.
Which for some people, that was a fun idea, but like now that like things are opening up, we have more options, and it's nice to be in a city where we have the options to explore and try new activities and step out of our comfort zone.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that the city adapted really well to the virtual model. We have a lot of, you know, students who know how to work a computer already, so it's not like events couldn't get moved. But I did find the pandemic to be a time of people surviving despite the circumstances, but not necessarily thriving despite the circumstances. And that was really interesting. And that's kind of, people kind of talk about the pandemic like it's over, but I think we're still seeing long-term effects on the industry, you know, the industries like the food service industry and the public sector. And I really, I'm really curious to see what some of the community interviews down the line pan out. Okay. Anything to add? Sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna jump back on what you said about how Montreal was the perfect space for like 19-year-old you, as like a 19-year-old and like a queer person in the community. And I think that's what I'm excited about when it comes to our surveys, is the community, because Montreal's community is such a particular thing, you know. I no shade on Toronto, but I don't think they have the same type of community. You know, like, it's for me as well, like, I think the BIPOC and the queer community in Montreal as well is such a strong thing. So I'm curious about that.
I am curious, too, about the community aspect. I mean, we are at a community radio station. We are a social enterprise. And I think that having lived in a city like Tokyo myself, not as a Japanese person, I felt that it is sometimes really intimidating to navigate new circles. And our themes here are cities and youth, right? So those are the people with the least experience navigating the biggest, most populous spaces. And seeing how those dynamics play out economically and socially are very interesting. We're going to take a quick music break now, but we'll be back with a little bit more about our What's Up With Work Lately radio series.
So, talking about community, I would like to share with y'all an artist that I met here in Montreal, a good friend of mine that I think was very inspired by the city and did his music studies here and recently released an album. So here's Saint-Séverin with his song Diet.
I've been having cigarettes for breakfast and anxiety for lunch. I've been having medicine for dinner with an apple, of course. I found that I could drink my own tears. Thank God for the mass production. The self-loathe, they need a snack. I got plenty to share with everyone. I'm gonna diet. It feels so good. I'm gonna diet. It feels so good. I'm gonna diet. I take too much of the wrong things. Of the wrong things. I'm gonna diet. I'm cooking something fun on the kitchen floor. I'm gonna diet. I'm gonna diet. No worry, I take multivitamins. Vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin insecurity. They help me feel more energized. As I'm
My doctor said my mental health's fine. It's as high as the sky and the weather's nice. The waiter told me today's specialty, it's smiling through the pain with friends and family. I'm gonna die. I take too much of the wrong things, of the wrong things. I'm gonna die. I'm cooking something fun on the kitchen floor.
Song from Saint Severin. Welcome back to the show. So on CKUT 90.3 FM, you are listening to What's Up With Work Lately, hosted by Youthful Cities. My name is Emil, and I am with
Miriam
and Charlie.
All right, and we'd like to talk a bit about our youth workforce survey, and I'm gonna introduce it because it's a first stage of our DevLab project. We want to hear what the youth are experiencing since COVID, as well as their day-to-day life in terms of work, affordability, as well as the performance of the cities and the metrics. And guys, do you want to share about survey?
Yeah, so for those of you who haven't heard anything about us, Youthful Cities, we are a pan-Canadian team of just 20 urban researchers, and we're trying to investigate what is up with work lately. We're trying specifically to focus our research on urban work and affordability. If you give us a little Google, you can access all our, what we like to call our good data that we collect, whether it's indexing or surveying or interviewing. So we do all of it. We do qualitative and quantitative. You're even gonna hear a couple of community interviews later down the line, like I said. More about this survey though. So this is a 16-month project that we're doing. We're about in month three. Our events are not happening until 2024, and right now we have just launched today our youth workforce survey. Yay! It's a huge part of our research, so the survey exists to poll as many people as possible, specifically in Montreal, because we are the Montreal City team. We also have counterparts in Calgary, Vancouver, and Toronto. And the survey is also available to residents there, if you happen to be tuning in from there. And it's a pretty comprehensive questionnaire. It's about 70, a whopping 70 questions that we need you, yes, you, to fill out on our website. So if you go on Youthful Cities, you will be able to find our youth workforce survey. How do you feel? So we did an internal test before we launched it today. And it exists to get as much information from as many people as possible. How did you two feel filling it out?
Oh, gosh.
Like, what kind of reflections did you draw from it?
I felt like, well, I had to be a bit dishonest simply because I'm filling a survey for my work asking me if I am open to quit my work within 6 months to get a better job, which is the kind of thing you don't want your boss to know. But
yet here you are. There.
Well, guys, it's anonymous, so your boss won't find out.
It's completely anonymous, but I have this like voice in my head that I'm like, we're only 4 people in Montreal, so, you know, 5. Sorry. it's not that hard to know who's who. I'm the only like islander.
You're the only, yeah,
so
Mauritian.
Very easy to know who I am, right? But don't worry, guys. Like, we're going to try to collect so much data. There's no way to know who's who. There's no personal information to share.
Yes, a little bit. Yes, so a little bit more about our youthful survey is that it is a completely anonymous endeavor. It is completely untraceable, and the questions that we ask are very, very identifying. I do agree. So you are not obligated to answer any of them, but we try to extrapolate as much socioeconomic data as possible, because what we want to do later is create solutions for the problem. This podcast is called What's Up With Work Lately, and our survey is called the Youth Workforce Survey. I'm starting to see a theme.
Are you?
But essentially, the research is for youth by youth, and we're trying to, much like CKUT, give a mic to the micless and a voice to the voiceless. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a lot of injustice right now in urban landscaping, and young people are about to emerge as the most important workforce while being the least equipped for it. So we are actually funded by the Government of Canada for this project. We are funded by the ESDC, the Economic and Social Development Fund. Is that what it stands for? Yeah. And we have been researching skills, employability, affordability. One observation I drew from filling out the survey, I think, was that I think there's a question towards the very end. This is an optional question. And it was about savings, and the options got really, really high. And I was I don't think anyone in Montreal has a nest egg in the tens of thousands of dollars that's in the 15 to 29 population. Mm-hmm. And those who do are obviously in a different position than the majority, mm-hmm. which I found really interesting because Montreal housing is getting utterly unaffordable, so the mortgage down payments are not the same as they were 20 years ago. So that was an observation I drew.
Yeah,
yeah, for real.
I would like to know what you guys said answering the survey, if you're open to saying that, when, because there's one question that asks, what is important to you to accept a job position or for a future job? And I think the options were something like the impact that it has in the community, the impact that it has when it comes to global warming, etc., etc. And I very honestly was like, global warming, because I don't know, my own conviction is, you know, no earth, no job, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. What were you guys' perspective on that? There were more options, but these are the only two I remembered.
Yeah, so the survey asks, and as the listeners who are willing to participate will see, the survey asks us how important certain priorities are, such as climate change, reconciliation, EDI, all these things. How important is that to you versus how much is your city addressing it? Those are like the rankings. I will say that the Montreal climate action seems, I mean, obviously there's a hypocrisy on the corporate to community levels. I think one is doing a lot more damage and one is trying a lot harder to undo that damage, which is in the billions. But I think people are more mindful in Montreal. I think it's there is 365-day biking in the city. Mm-hmm. There is not as many people have licenses, which is a big urban trend.
Oh, there's Caminoto,
which is amazing. We're working on our infrastructure. So that I put as pretty important, but I didn't actually massacre my ranking for Montreal compared to... I'm Bulgarian, so in Sofia, I think we're one of the most polluted cities in the EU. So I was trying to relativize, because our goal here is which city is the most youthful? Sorry. Our goal here is which city is the most youthful, and how do we make a city that's not youthful?
Mm-hmm.
Youthful. What was your biggest, most important priority? Emil, in the research?
Well, me in particular, I think, part of the economy, the availability of good jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing that's important, especially like some people who do have the opportunity to get higher education or get the skills training to advance themselves past the minimum wage choices, like they are paying for and taking loans for their education and training and putting the long hours studying and like sometimes trying to work and study at the same time. So hopefully there's something waiting for them at the end of the degree, rather than, you know, putting all that work and then have to go back to their old job that they were doing before they even studied in the first place.
I agree. I find it's hard in Montreal, you know, like as young adults, all of us graduated, we have university degrees, and I find like I personally struggled, you know, and I was really surprised because I was like, I have a license, a bachelor, and I'm here, and I worked in my field, but then it didn't interest me as much as I thought it would. But I do think that it's rough out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know so many people who are highly qualified but just aren't getting the position that they deserve, and it's almost like, I don't remember the English word. I don't even remember the French word. It's unmotivating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that was our founder, the Youthful Cities founder, who we'll be speaking to in a few weeks, wrote a feature for the Globe and Mail that was called like, "Oh great, unaffordable Toronto and Vancouver are ranked as top cities for young people to live and work in." And I think that Montreal is a university city. That's what distinguishes us from, I think, bigger cities like Toronto and Vancouver. However, so many people are spend money, I mean, now with the tuition hike it's even more dramatic, but money or resources or just energy getting degrees that may not guarantee them work.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, you studied economics, Emil, Charlie, you studied film, but like film practice, like you have a BFA, that's still a pre-professional degree, and I studied archaeology, essentially. I did an ANTH degree at McGill, but focusing on archaeological methods. Here we are, working in social impact. I wonder why.
An interesting combination with our experiences.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, it is interesting because even some people I follow on TikTok, they make a joke about like job postings that say entry level but asking for 5 years of experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Or they ask for, you know, 5 years of experience, but they pay you like somebody who has no experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really rough, I find, to find you know, like a job posting and a company that is honest and transparent on what they can offer you and what your role actually will be. And having it being coherent.
Absolutely.
You can have the bread and eat it too, or the cake and eat it too, whichever the expression is.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it's like, it's really hard to know as a young person what your value is, I think, professionally, and I think that more often than not, that is taken advantage of. So as Canada's population ages, it's now more important than ever for young people to assert themselves in urban landscapes and in industries less directly, because I feel like people are going to retire, and it's going to be left to the youth to become the future generation. And I think, like what you're saying, the 5 years experience, I mean, companies like ours kind of overgo that by just hiring young people and treating them like experts. But then I think it's also difficult because people continue to be shorted, in their value. Back to the survey, though, one of my favorite questions and the entire format of our research that we kind of came up with, or like later in the process when we were designing the research, was the red flag and green flag model. Mm-hmm. So I guess my questions to you are, what is the biggest green flag and red flag with employers in Montreal? Or generally, but we're talking about Montreal.
Okay, can I give a short story?
Yes.
Okay, so I have this friend of mine who's a bit older than me. She's like on the limit of the age group that we're working with. She's 29.
Uh-huh.
And has been job hunting for a bit. And she told me this story, how she applied for a particular position, and she has over 6 years of experience and is, you know, very professional, and it's a particular position where you need the degrees and you can't hire anyone. And they ended up offering her a position in a complete different department.
Mm-hmm.
Complete different department. Mm-hmm. Where she had no experience, no knowledge, no whatsoever. And I think that speaks to me a lot and gives an example of the state of Montreal's job hunting. Completely crazy to me.
And Canada in particular is super duper educated, so I think it's very safe to say that you can get hired for some random reason, but that is not what you'll be doing necessarily at work. And that's kind of what we're researching as well, right? It's the difference in your field versus what you do versus how well you're paid. There was like this random TED talk by this British guy that I listened to, and it was talking about why the sciences and languages have more funding than other humanities. Well, sciences are not a humanities, but let's say at the top of the education pyramid that we're sort of trying to deconstruct, there's those things. But then in Canada, what you have is you have people who are highly educated, not being guaranteed even contract work.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how that's going to shape up in the future.
But what's the biggest red flag for you, Emil?
Well, I'll start by doing that great green flag. Getting those stuff on positive.
That's why we like you, Emil.
I appreciate that. So I think on a green flag, it's important that like employers and colleagues kind of are invested in the colleagues of improvement. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, they want to see people do well, and they want to see people like gain confidence in their ability to do the job, especially when they're coming out of university. And then one thing I would say is a red flag is particularly the opposite, where people are either micromanaging because like they don't trust their employee, and they almost feel like the employee isn't confident on their own, because they want the employee to feel confident as they progress through the job.
Mm-hmm.
Or then also another side is you're almost relegating that employee to irrelevant tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And like just almost trying to keep them away from like big opportunities and big work responsibilities.
I think that's quite firing.
Actually. Quiet firing?
Yeah.
Can you define that?
Oh gosh, open TikTok and Google it.
Yeah. Okay.
Our generation's language is TikTok nowadays. But quiet firing, I've heard it a couple of times on social medias, but basically, just not getting any tasks or improvement, and kind of like having people you just feel unwanted and not want to stay, right? It's kind of like, we're not giving you much work, or then we're overwhelming you with work so that you are out of your capacities, and then just end up not being able to keep the job, or Yeah, that's a red flag. That's a big red flag. I would think when I think of red flag and green flags, I always think of the first impression that I get from employers, because you know, job interviews is the first impression, and not even job interviews, the job,
Do you mean like the pre-calls?
Like not even the ad for the job, you know?
The listing?
Yeah. A listing that does not have the salary is a waste of everybody's time.
That's so true.
And it's such a red flag because it instantly shows the lack of transparency that the employer is going to have with you.
Yeah, I also never understood like salary negotiable upon experience.
Absolutely. It's like if you're willing to pay somebody this amount,
yeah,
and they're qualified, then pay them this amount.
It's so strange because it's like, oh, if you're young, you can be taken advantage of.
Yeah, but at the end of the
but
day, this
we have
the
budget
the
for, yeah, a veteran in the field, and we'd rather the veteran will free up budget for that. But if we can get away with underpaying you,
we will.
We will, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then.
Also, one thing I think is important about posting the salary is, because if people are comparing two different roles, like they require the same qualifications, but like one of them happens to be super far away, so they have more more cost for like commute. They need to know if the extra commute costs will be covered by one of the companies or not.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
That's a good point.
That's
true. Yeah.
I think that it's a lack of transparency, and I feel like it doesn't allow people to move forward. You know, if you're currently at a position where you feel you're underpaid, but all of the other ads for that same position in other companies do not show the salary, how are people supposed to know their real quote-unquote salary value, you know? And young people, like, we don't get out of school, for those who are lucky to go to school, with like a pamphlet of like this job, this salary, this job, this salary. We don't know. And that's how we start working into a company, and we're paid like $18 the hour for a job that Karen, who's like 35 years old, okay, no, maybe not 35, like 45, is paid three times more.
35 is actually young.
35 is really young. That's why
it's
really close to us, too, so I'm like, maybe not.
35-year-olds.
Yeah. Or 45-year-olds.
45,
but,
you know.
But there is a certain, yeah, there are, that's something I've noticed a lot in very cushy positions where people are grandfathered in. So like a lot of the McGill admin, at least when I was a student, were people who were grandfathered in, and those are very privileged positions that you want people like, you know, further along in their career to have. But then it's almost like an intention that there aren't young people who are being entrusted with the same responsibilities, or who are simply being even considered for those positions due to some sort of like cookie cutter profile. Yeah, I actually, you know, I'm not Trudeau's biggest fan, but at the time that he was elected, like, or he was campaigning for the first time, he was 40, and I found that young. The mayor of Laval, the mayors of Laval and the mayors of Longueuil are very young as well, which I find really inspiring, because, you know, maybe one day we can be mayors of Longueuil and Laval. No.
Don't you have to be born on the territory?
So yeah, I'm sure you do.
Something like that, because that's why it is with presidents, right? You need to be born in Canada if you want to be president.
That's true. That's true. I wonder if there are exceptions.
Yeah.
I wonder if like the first Canadian Prime Minister was born in the UK. We're getting off topic here.
Colonization.
Yeah.
And also it is an advantage to be born in Canada for those positions, because someone who's a recent immigrant, it's hard for them to build a big network.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know what? It's not just that. It's that some will not give you a job if you don't have a permanent residency. It's like their questions in the application forms is like, are you on a visa? Do you need sponsorship from your employer to get a permanent residency? Or are you Canadian? Or do you have a permanent residency?
Yeah.
And it's... maybe there is a corporate reason to it. If there is, please let us know. But because we don't know, and I personally struggle with it because I'm on a work permit, I'm always like, sounds like a red flag to me.
<Yeah.
laughs> Like, at least put a description under it and explain your the reason.
Well, many companies are incapable of sponsoring newcomers, and I think that they're very... they're very, very squeamish about it. Even I think, you know, present company included, I think there's a lot of red tape. And I think at the end of the day, there isn't that human solidarity on the very corporate level, which is why we're having a urban work show at a community radio station. Because we can talk freely of the issues that young people are facing in cities, which really rotate around affordability and accessibility, to be completely honest. You know, all these things like inclusion and diversity are weirdly an afterthought.
Schwarz zu mir beim Rave-Tippe, damals noch diese 1, 2, Bunny. They say that you hate me, dreamed you said you love me. Sonne geht auf, dann kommst du und drei, trinkst den Wodka nur auf Eis. Bist ein Blizzard, du machst Schluss in 3, 2, 1. Es ist nachts um 2, fragst, kommst du mit? Ich sag Baby, nein, weil du auf G bist. Baby, Sommer 201.
Few minutes of our first episode of What's Up With Work Lately. Once again, this is Mariam, and I am joined by Charlie and Emil.
Hi.
We've been talking mostly about our exciting survey launch, which is going to be a big part of our community action research. So please, please, please go on our website. If you see it on Instagram, it's not spam. It's our community data gathering. If you're interested in the other research that we've done, we release an annual urban work index where we rank cities. And actually, if you wanted to take a guess as to where Montreal fell in the urban work 2023 index.
Can we guess?
Yeah.
2023?
Mm-hmm.
Something like...
We ranked 30 cities in Canada.
Okay, I don't know, like 8? I'm being optimistic.
Two. It's the best. So,
what?
The Montreal overall population as of 2023 is 1,762,949.
That's a lot of people.
There's 361,705 youth.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. Montreal ranks highly across several topics, including first in transportation, according to our index, second in education, plus training, entrepreneurial spirit, digital access. Montreal also ranks ninth for good youth jobs, with one of the highest number of job vacancies, but one of the lower number of youth employment centers, which would support young people entering the workforce.
That's interesting.
Yeah, here's the charts. They're available on our website in our Youthful City Urban Work 2023 Index. You can also find it on our data playground, which is loads of fun. So pretty low scoring on health. That does include mental health. But affordability is scored a 62. Pretty okay.
Okay, so we are lucky-ish.
We're lucky-ish. Our data shows that Montreal is very youthful and very accessible, but there is still room to be improved.
Who was number one, can I ask?
You think it was Toronto?
I think it was Toronto.
It's always goddamn Toronto.
It's because. No, yep. Toronto. Yeah.
Why? Why are they? Why do they beat us?
Toronto ranked first, according to our Urban Work Index, ranked first in three topics: so education plus training, entrepreneurial spirit, and digital access, and in the top five for five additional topics, but 30th for affordability.
Oh my God.
It remains costly.
Can't live correctly.
One of the questions of the survey is, would you recommend to people to move to Montreal? What did you guys say?
Okay, no, but I think the question was to come work to Montreal.
To come work? Okay, yeah. Thank you for correcting
no
that.
No problem, that's what I'm here for.
What did you say?
I said no. I said no because it took me 6 years before finding a correct job.
I see.
You know, I'm lucky enough and privileged enough to have support. Mm-hmm. But somebody who doesn't have that, mm-hmm. I'm never ever working in a supermarket ever again for minimum wage. So, no.
You work at a supermarket here in Montreal?
Yeah.
Wow, which one?
Yeah. Also, why is there no chairs in supermarkets? What is this?
I know.
What
I
is
know.
This? You break your back.
It's really rude. It's really, really inaccessible.
Yeah. So unless you got a good hint, you know you're getting a good job, I would say sure. But, you know, Valérie Plante, don't get mad at me for saying no. But if you don't, what would you say?
I might disagree with you, but I would say because compared to other cities that back when I was in Calgary, I felt like I had a better option finding work in Montreal because more postings that seemed beginner friendly to me. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Calgary seemed like it was all the places I wanted at least 5 years experience.
Yeah.
But as you would say, they pay you as if you were entry level.
Yeah. The wages, I do think the wages would be a bit higher in Calgary just because it's smaller.
Well, I think Calgary is cheaper to live.
Okay.
But the minimum wage is higher, but the gap between minimum wage and someone who's actually has the qualifications, the pay gap isn't that big.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on this, but that's what I saw.
We'll check the real affordability index on our, and then we'll check if Calgary is in fact more affordable.
Yeah.
More on this next time.
We are going to take a quick music break. We're going to listen to two songs. The first is going to be Work From Home. And then playing us out is another song by H. Hunt that we actually had playing over our initial discussion. It's just piano music, so you can find those later on. We're also going to be signing off and seeing you again in 2 weeks. Stay tuned.
I worry about nothing. I am wearing a nada. I'm sitting pretty impatient, but I know you gotta put in them hours. I'ma make it harder. I'm sending pick after picture. I'ma get you fired. I know you're always on that night shift, but I can't stand these nights alone. And I don't need no explanation, 'cause baby you're the boss at home. You don't gotta go to work. But you gotta go to work. You don't gotta go to work. Let my body do the work. We can work tomorrow. Oh, we can work tomorrow. Let's put it in a motion. I'ma give you a promotion. I'll make it feel like a vacay. Turn the bed into an ocean. We don't need nobody. I just need your body. Nothing but sheets in between us. Ain't no getting off early.
No hands for me. Take it to the ground, pick it up for me. Look back at it all, I'm for me. Put it right like my time, she ride it like a 63. I'ma buy a new Celine. Let her ride in the foreign with me. Ooh, she the babe, I'm her boo. And she down to break the rules. Ride it down, she gon' go. I'm gon' choose, she finesse. I fight boom, she take that. Put in overtime on your body.
Hey everyone, thank you for listening to us on the CKUT 98.3 FM. You listen to What's Up With Work Lately with me, Charlie, and Mariam and Emil, all working with Youthful Cities. Thank you so much for listening to us and to me vent and and all of us vent, to be very honest. And we'll see you, or you guys will hear us again in 2 weeks.
Yes. Soon. So our next episode will be Monday the 13th at 6 p.m.
Also, we want to hear from you all. Make sure you fill out the survey.
Yes.
We got both English and French versions out, so whichever language you're comfortable with.
Yeah, Emil, always the business guy.
And you can check out our Urban Work Index, our real affordability index.
Yes, you can listen to that.
Our refugee index, and so much more. All right.
That's something for everybody.
Yeah. Cool. Youthful Cities is DevLab project, developing a dynamic, engaged, and vital youth workforce, is a project led by Youthful Cities in partnership with Tamarack Institute to develop a vital and engaged workforce in cities through a deep investigation into the skills you need to succeed. It is initially funded in part by the Government of Canada's National Essential Skills Initiative Program. We will use community action research across 8 cities in Canada: Toronto, Montreal, Calgary, Vancouver, Regina, Moncton, Yellowknife, and Whitehorse. Please fill out our Youth Workforce Survey ou notre sondage sur la jeune main-d'œuvre.
on our website today. That's youthfulcities.com. We'll be back soon. Coming up next is Dragon Root. Stay tuned for more. 90.3 FM.
You gotta move a little bit closer.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay.
This is Biff.
Kiwi.
And the Rawa de Pampelamous from Shalabi Effect, and you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
We pledge resistance.
What's up? This is Saul Williams chilling here in Montreal, here on CKUT.
We pledge alliance with those who have undergone attack for voicing opposition to the war.
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Dear listeners, you're cued to CKUT 90.3 FM on the dial, www.ckut.ca on the internet. This hour presents what you don't hear or read in our mass media outlets. We're going to be talking about the conflict in Israel-Palestine. Please stay with us. Allowed humanity and who is not. Those deaths are tragedies worth praying, concerted attention to, and whose death can be dealt with in a matter of seconds. Whose children are worth learning about, whose heartbreak is worth lingering over, and which people, when confronted by bloodshed,